2 hours down, a little less than two to go here on The Drive on TSN 1200. Graham Creech, Dean Brown, and Cam Clement with you. And we're going to replay the Brady Tkachuk interview. He joined Steve Lloyd and Brad Fritch on In the Box earlier today from All-Star Weekend, and spent some time throughout the three shows today talking about less than exciting, negative kind of Sens news with the Troy Mann situation. Well, this positive one is Brady, the play of the Brady Tkachuk, and at the All-Star game, joining his brother. Here is the Sens captain, Brady Tkachuk, in conversation with Steve Lloyd and Brad Fritch earlier today.
How are you guys doing?
Well, you're doing better than us. We just spent the last few minutes whining. You know, you've got weather apps, right? Have you checked what it's like back here in Ottawa? Huh. Like, this is the coldest it's been in years. It's minus 43 Celsius with the wind chill right now, Brady. So you're in a good place. Good for you.
Yeah, no, it's actually sitting outside on the balcony, staring at the ocean, and had a look at the weather, and I saw. So throw a couple daggers in there for you guys, and I can't imagine how cold it is there right now.
All right, okay. Well, let's move in. What's it been like so far? Because you did some media last night, right? And it was a pretty cool setup. They had all the players have their own little podium, right? And you're right on the ocean, and you did some other media, and you got the skills tonight. You got the game tomorrow. So what's it been like so far as you're enjoying your All-Star experience?
It's been awesome. It's been really unique, and of course, the last stretch back in Ottawa is snowing for a week straight. So to be kind of on the beach in the sun, and especially doing it with my brother and having a bunch of family and friends coming down for this weekend, it makes it special for everybody here, because everybody's had an impact on our careers at one point or another. So it's just been a really fun couple days so far, and excited for tonight and tomorrow.
Brady, you've obviously had a really good season so far, making the All-Star game as a member of the Ottawa Senators. How would you assess your play so far this season? And maybe at the end of your answer, maybe just one thing you'd like to do a little bit better in the second half of the season.
I just think I feel like I worked the hardest I've ever worked this summer to kind of put myself in a position to have to help the team try to get to that next level. And I just think that, can always improve too. I feel like there's levels that I can get to, and if I just keep working and I think it's just gained a lot of confidence throughout this year, and being able to play with some really good players, it's definitely helped a lot. But I think to improve, I think you can always improve your game, and I think there's never a time to be complacent, because for myself, I just want to keep finding different levels to my game and keep trying to help the team win.
Yeah, I know it's all about the team's progress here. And what did it mean to have that push before the break, Brady? Because I think maybe the Winnipeg game was tough. You could feel, I think the fans and media, we could feel like a bit of the frustration, maybe just a little bit. Day off, good week of practice, and then you win four straight heading into the break, and feeling much better about yourselves.
I think we just needed to regroup a little bit after that Winnipeg game. We weren't happy, at all, and it was definitely very frustrating. But I think it definitely is making our break a lot better. But we know that that's the type of hockey we need to play, and that's, I feel like, get rewarded, especially beat Montreal twice, Toronto, the Islands. It's I think that's huge for our confidence. Just knowing and believing it and each other. And I just think we're having fun. Like, it's just everybody, we're all pulling in the right direction. And it definitely gives us a lot of confidence coming back, that once we play our game, that it's tough for the other team to keep up, because we're just playing really fast. So I know for me, I'm excited to be in the sun, but excited to get back and get back in the rhythm again.
Brady, it was really fun to watch as a fan at the end of the Montreal game, your game-winning goal, and you're giving it to the fans a little bit. I want to ask you about athlete motivation, and something that I've always thought was true, in that, it's a long season. Guys get up for different games, probably more than others. But is there something overall in your game that you kind of have the Michael Jordan, I took it personally, I have extra motivation. Is there anything that you pick out for individual games where you kind of feel maybe disrespected sometimes and just play different than you would against other teams? Is that a thing with NHL hockey players?
I mean, that's tough. I like to pride myself on, you know, every game trying to be at my best and trying to have that motivation to take it to the next level. Of course, you know, playing against Matt, that's always extra motivation. And the rivalry games, you know, Toronto, Montreal, those are games that kind of make the fans so passionate in Ottawa. And just it's a rivalry for everybody. So I think those are games that kind of circle and you want to be at your best because your whole community takes pride in those types of games. And it's almost like a gut shot to everybody if you don't pull it off. So I try to pride myself on every game, but you know, definitely the rivalry games and just want to make the community proud.
What's more satisfying? You beat the Habs at home and there's a lot of Habs fans there and you know that enjoy your drive home, everybody that leave early when in that one, or you get the game winning goal. And we've all seen it. You saw it up close and personal, the one fan with telling you and Timmy, you're both number one. Let's put it that way. And at the end of the game, which kind of feels better as a player, do it in their barn or your barn? And there's a lot of those fans there and you know that they got a long drive home.
I don't know. I'd probably say in their barn because it's you really can stick it to them and silence the crowd pretty good. So I'd probably say that was I don't know. I mean, anytime we beat them, it's always the best feeling. But in their barn to silence them, that's always a good feeling.
So Brady, last year you played with Josh Norris as your center for the majority of the season. This year you've got Tim Stützle so far the majority of this season. Do you have to adjust your game a little bit, maybe be in different spots or play a little bit different in terms of playing with either Norris or Stützle?
That's actually one. I try to just play that hard game no matter who I play with, make plays and just get open for give and goes all over the ice. So I wouldn't say that's changed, but they're both such unique players and even different from each other, and they're so much fun to play with. The speed, the skill, just the uniqueness that they have, the shiftiness, and it's a lot of fun. Just try to get open, try to just, like I said, give and goes out there with them and create space for one another. So you know, I've been having a great time playing with Timmy this year, and of course with Josh and I's connection, you know, I've loved playing with him as well.
Now, a few years ago, as we speak to Brady Tkachuk from the All-Star festivities in Florida, a few years ago, you were part of this process, but it's been happening a lot, and that's a testament, you know, to the organization's drafting and development, where we're always talking about a new young guy having a pretty much immediate impact. What can you say about Ridly Gregg's first four games in the NHL?
It's been great. I just feel like he's been, like you said, so impactful and has helped our team so much, you know, since he's been here. And in the locker room, you know, he doesn't say much, but he kind of has that presence of just the presence he has in the locker room. It's great. He doesn't need to say much, but he's just a great teammate. And he's made an immediate impact for us. And you know, we've loved having him help on our team. And it's been great. So getting to know him as well, you know, I got to know him pretty good because he lives at the house during training camp, and you know, he's going to come back, so just be able to get to know him more off the ice, and I'm fired up. I think he's an awesome guy, and I'm excited to get to play with him still.
I got to ask you, what do you do to try to get him to come out of his shell a little bit? Because, you know, I've interviewed him a few times. He seems like a pretty quiet guy. And I know that you've had other young guys room with you and you like to maybe pick at them a bit just to get them to open up a bit. Is there anything you're doing with Ridly in that vein?
Just the usual, just nonstop. It's just a full bombardment every time I see him. So just get him going and then hopefully, I'll pop in that guy's the shell, the quiet shell, and just let them know that they can just be their normal selves, because that's what the guys were so great when I was coming in, that they made me feel so welcomed, and I was just comfortable right from day one. So if I could do that for, you know, Ridly and future guys to come, that's how I want to make an impact.
Brady, I wanted to ask you about Jake Sanderson. It seemed like there was no adjustment period for him coming in and being one of the best Senators defensemen so far this year. Have you seen in your short career so far, have you seen a guy make the adjustment as fast as he has?
I mean, been able to play with some pretty amazing players. I mean, he's up there. He's going to be an unreal defenseman for us and really help our team win, and we're very lucky to have him. And yeah, I mean, it's impressive. It's his rookie year, but it's almost like he's been playing in the league for 10 years. Just the composure, how good of a pro he is already. It's honestly, I've had a great time playing with him, and he's made our team so much better since being here.
And maybe I got to ask about the other end of that spectrum. Claude Giroux is coming off being first star of the week here, 35 years old. There's a lot of guys that, played the video game when they were kids on your team, when he was on the cover. What can you say about the impact he's had just on the ice and maybe just generally, helping you out as well as the captain of the team and everything that goes along with that?
He's been great. We've gelled a lot on the ice and off the ice, and like you said, he's been really impactful for me since he's been here, and we've got really close in our short time together so far, so I'm fired up to be able to play with him. I still think it's awesome, and he's not at all kind of what I expected when he signed here, but he's the best. I love hanging out with him. I feel like we've gelled really well with each other, and he's definitely been very impactful for me.
All right, just a couple more here, just about back to the All-Star game. So skills competition tonight, what are you doing? You going to call your shot on anything? What's your participation like tonight?
Well, I actually already filmed mine, and it was fun. It was unique. It's a splash zone, so it's definitely really unique. And today I think might be a little surprise in there for everybody, maybe have an impact on a little certain something with Matthew. So everybody will have to just watch and wait and see.
Okay. There's our tease. All right. We'll be watching for that. Enjoy the sun, the nice weather, and just enjoy your time. And I know Sens fans can't wait to get going on the unofficial second half next week. Thanks a lot, Brady.
Appreciate it, guys. Have a good one.
That was Brady Tkachuk joining Steve Lloyd and Brad Fritch on In the Box earlier today. We will take a break. Dean Brown, Graham Creech, Cam Clement for you on the other side. Here as the drive continues on TSN 1200. Welcome back to In the Box, the drive here on TSN 1200. I guess that's what happens when you mostly work on another show. Find Jeremy if you want there, Cam. Graham Creech, Dean Brown, Cam Clement with you today. And just to reset the schedule this weekend at TSN 1200, Capital Hoops Classic tipping off at 6 o'clock. AJ Jakubek and Elias L. Zane with the call, and they will have a short, 10-minute pregame show at 5:50 that they'll get you set for. The women tip off at 6, men at 8 from the arena at TD Place, and right here on TSN 1200. The 67s visit the Flint Firebirds at 7 o'clock. Kenny Walls is the call on Brother Station 580 CFRA. It's a 3-3 weekend for the Barber Poles. So tonight, and then Saginaw tomorrow at 7, Sarnia Sunday at 1 o'clock. And both of those weekend games will be found right here on TSN 1200. We still have Vanessa Sanchez and John Shannon to join us. Vanessa at 4:45, John at 5:05. And just to kind of reset the table as we got away from it a little bit with some hoops, golf, and Brady Tkachuk talk. But if you missed it somehow last night or early this morning, the big news is the Senators at 10:38 p.m. announced after a Belleville Senators win that the firing of head coach Troy Mann, assistant coach David Bell, will take over for the remainder of the season. In a statement from Sens' assistant GM Ryan Bonus said, "A change like this is difficult, difficult decision, but we are aligned internally and feel this is necessary for the short and long-term growth of the players in our organization, as well as the cohesion and systematic play between Ottawa and Belleville." The quote from Pierre Dorion in the release reads, "While a change at the head coaching position during the season is not an ideal scenario, we felt it was necessary to deliver improved team performance. Mann's record with Belleville was 150 wins, 117 losses, and then 15-7 overtime and shootout losses. Dealt obviously with massive Mann games lost due to injury, both in Belleville and in Ottawa. Some of the success stories under Troy Mann, under his guidance in Belleville, include Batherson, Formanton, Norris, and Nick Paul. Others still to be determined. Thanks to JR for putting that information out just to, as an easy list to go by. But Jacob Bernard Docker, Lassie Thompson, Roby Jarventi, and Igor Sokolov, Mark Kastelic as well. Those are the facts. Trent Mann, of course, Troy's brother, is one of the assistant GMs in Ottawa as well. So I'm sure he's not happy with the news, but we'll see if there's any more information we find out, Dean. But I'm sure an awkward situation, just given the relationship with Trent and Troy Mann and their positions in Ottawa.
Yeah, and we had a text from somebody asking about, is there another situation that you can think of where a brother is fired by the management of a team in which his other brother is a part of? I can't remember two of them part of the same management team, but there's been lots of cases where you have family members working for the same team and one under whatever circumstances is leaves or gets cut or, you know, or whatever. And that's just part of the business. I had one of my best friends growing up, Cam Baldwin, he had both of his sons actually playing in the minors at the same time. And one of his sons, it was the Idaho Steelheads, and one of his son became the assistant general manager while his younger son was still playing on the team, and they traded him to Orlando. So you basically had one brother part of the management group that was orchestrating a trade of his brother. So, you know, it's not ideal. Is it awkward? I'm sure it is, but it's not the first time. It's won't be the last time. Nobody wanted to find a way to, hey, let's see if we can, fire our coach two-thirds of the way through a season. You know, this was not the plan, but obviously stuff arose that it had to be dealt with, and it was, and now you move on. And I suppose down the road, we might find out other things, but I think we may find them out only if Troy is willing to talk about those, and he may or may not. But for right now, there are far more questions than there are answers, and I think all of us have to live with the reality that that might be that way for quite some time.
Yeah, and if you missed it or just tuning in again, we haven't heard Troy's version of it. So if we do find out something, who knows when, if at all, we will hear that. Just pivoting a little bit, and we touched on this with Bruce earlier, Dean, but this being the time off for the Senators and leading into the All-Star game here, just time to reassess kind of where the team's at. They go into the break on a four-game winning streak, three of those wins against their two biggest rivals, two of those games blowouts on the scoreboard, and then another one that was wildly entertaining if you're a fan, maybe not if you're a coach of either the Canadians or the Senators.
No.
But you got to be – like they must be going into this feeling good, but especially considering where they were at, where they must have been at, just listening to them speak after that Winnipeg loss on the Saturday, to finish to follow that up with four wins going into the break. Even though playoffs might be a long shot, it must be feeling better about where they're at with that four game winning streak here.
Yeah. You can't change what happens with the other teams that are ahead of you, how that may affect your odds of being able to catch up and win a playoff spot. You're right, Preacher. The odds and the numbers are not in their favor. If you look at, you know, forget about how many teams are ahead of them, how many points back, whatever, you know, I still use the Roger Nielsen math to do this. Forget about all that stuff where you're sitting there looking at hopping this, jumping over that team. You can't control what those teams do. How many points do you need and how far away from that are you? And I think everybody pretty much agrees that this year in the Eastern Conference, it's going to take 95, 96 points. You know, so what does Ottawa need to get that many to truly put them in a race for a playoff spot? Means they have to win about 66% of their games down the stretch. They've got to go, you know, 20-10 in their last 30 games or somewhere thereabouts. And could this team do that? Sure, they could. But we haven't seen them be able to string together enough wins to this point in the season to make that happen. Has it happened before? Yeah, we've talked at length about the Hamburglar run. It's not impossible, but it's not likely. But that doesn't mean, as an organization, that you don't keep pushing for that. You know, that's the point. You make the push until there's no mathematical chance anymore. And while the odds are not good, it doesn't matter. The push is the same. And the way Ottawa has gone into the break, it makes coming out of the break easier to continue to make that push. And then you just see what happens. You just, you know, you play the games. You just try to get yourself ready to play the right way as much as you can down the stretch. And hopefully you get some good goaltending. Hopefully you get some 5-on-5 goals. Hopefully power play stays, you know, on top of it. And hopefully the penalty in. And then, you know, then you see what happens. You can't, the problem is that you can't, you know, you have nothing to do whether some other team that is in the same mode that you're in goes and wins 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 straight. You know, you can still be winning, but not making up any ground. So again, it's just about playing the right way and just seeing what happens. But, you know, it's not speaking out of turn when you say, is it likely? No. But is it possible? Yeah, sure.
All right, Dino, there any other texts that you wanted to get into before we hear from Vanessa Sanchez?
Well, just a couple. There's earlier in the show, I said that Dave guy from Environment Canada, the blue glasses, and some guy said the guy with the blue glasses, David Suzuki's. No, the guy's name is David Phillips. Love Dave Phillips from Environment Canada. Makes complicated things digestible for an idiot like me. Can we have some sports talk, please? That's some Randy. Well, Randy, we're talking sports almost all the time here. Thanks for paying attention. It's like, really. Dean makes me cheer against my own bets. I don't even know what that means. Dean, when Gord makes his audible reactions to close calls or bad penalties, does he fidget around his seat as I imagine he did? Yes, he does. And I wouldn't call it fidgeting.
No.
You gotta get out of the way. There's arms swinging. And Gord's a very emotional and physical viewer of the game when he's involved in the call of the game.
Yeah, I won't say it's my favorite one because there's a lot of favorites I have with his sounds and reactions and noises and stuff. But yep. I do love the... And you know, and he doesn't say anything, but it's like Gord's not happy.
You know, when
somebody missed a pass.
Yeah. If I don't say the word turnover, you know, there still was one when you hear him pounding the desk. Like, okay. Quick question for Dean.
Do you get animated? Do you ever push him back or anything?
No. I'm the exact opposite. And it's not that I try to be, I just am. I sit there, call the game. My brain's kind of working the way it works. And I've never been emotional calling the game, just because that's the way I'm wired. You know, we're different guys. So
stand up, and not in terms of just emotion, but just I don't know. Like, are you sometimes standing, sometimes sitting, or are you always kind of just sitting?
I'm mostly sitting, but not because I don't want to stand. In most places we are, to be able to see my notes and the stuff that I have to read and the format and the liners and the cues. I can't hold them all if I'm standing up because the desk is normal desk height. So because I'm the one that has to read all those things. Like, we have different roles, and I'm the one who calls the commercial breaks. I'm the one that reads so I have to be able to have access to all that stuff. And it's more difficult if you're standing while you call the game, in most rinks, because the desk is normal desk height. So it's easier for me to do that if I'm sitting. So most of the time I sit because it makes it easier to do my job.
It makes Hammer's job easier to see over you too than if you're standing.
Well, he gets a little stool and he usually stands between us. And on the stool, he's almost as tall as me.
I know I stand, but, like, during this show, like, some of the times I'm standing, some of the times I'm sitting. Like, it just, I know why or when I change, but.
Well, the good thing about in the studio, though, where you are, if you stand up, you're at counter height because they use the tall architect's chairs. So you could stand. I've always thought, to be honest with you, in broadcast booths, if I was designing a new one, I would have those hydraulic desks that you can change the height of it, because there's lots of guys who do my job that prefer to stand. But again, it's tougher because you have to hold all the papers that you need to read off of when you have to call for things, because you can't put them on the desk because they're too far away to be able to read. So if you could, but then still be able to bring it down for the guys who prefer to sit. So that would be one of the changes. If I was designing a new building for broadcasters, I would have the height adjustable desks in there. So if a guy likes to stand, he can stand. If a guy likes to sit, he can sit. And they both have equal access to the stuff they need to access to do the game. Can I read one more?
Yes. I know you, sorry, I had a couple follow-ups, but I know that you're eager to get to some more here.
Well, quick question for Dean. You've been calling games for a long time. So two things. Number one, were you ever good at it? Or have you always been awful? Have you ever had the opportunity to call a good team? Cheers. P.S. Gord carries you. Number one, have I ever been good at it? I have no idea, but the checks keep coming in. Number two, were you always awful? Again, the checks keep coming in, so I don't know. That's for someone else to decide. Have I ever had the opportunity to call a good team? Well, this team did go to the Stanley Cup final, so yeah. And Gord carries me? Yeah, absolutely he does. Always has.
Which was the best team, do you think, that you've called? Was it the 07 or was it 03? Was it the team that lost to the Sabres with Hasek? Like, what would you be your best team, you think?
I don't know. That's a good question. It wasn't, even though the 07 team was the one that got to the final. It wasn't the 07 team, maybe the one the year before or 2 years before. But yeah, that's the way the league works. The way sometimes, you know, the best team doesn't go as far as the one you think is just average. So it was kind of weird that way that, you know, you look at some of those teams and you go, well, that one should have gone farther. And I'm surprised that one went that far, but that's kind of the way hockey is. Hold on. I guess I called somebody a bozo earlier on. I was trying to say, I appreciate the explanation of why you aren't talking about man and sharing of the team intel, you bozo. Oh, I guess I misinterpreted his and called him a bozo. Dean, you idiot. Do you think Matt Murray is just mailing it in for a paycheck? Mark, the rent-a-goalie. Thanks for calling me an idiot. As you know, I appreciate that stuff. I don't think he's mailing it in. I just think he's a fragile person, and he has trouble staying healthy. But I think he's a good guy. I like him, but I just think he's fragile.
All right, we have to pump the brakes on the text, but we will get back into them maybe at 5:20, 5:30-ish, something like that. But on the other side, Vanessa Sanchez will join us, tee up what's coming up on She's Got Game, and much more as The Drive continues on TSN 1200. Welcome back to The Drive here on TSN 1200. Let's go back to the Gabriel Pizza Hotline and bring in the host of She's Got Game. It'll be 11 o'clock Saturday morning this week because of Capital Hoops tonight. Vanessa Sanchez joins us on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline. Vanessa, how's it going? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you boys today?
Oh, terrific.
Doing well, Vanessa.
Yeah? Are you nice and warm?
Well, this time last week I was in Mexico, so I don't know why I didn't extend it by a week and come back. Maybe Sunday would be a perfect day to come back, but I'm warm at the moment. How about you?
Oh, same. I live on the 16th floor of a southern-facing apartment with, like, you know, 12-foot windows, and so this morning when it was sunny, my thermostat was at, like, I think it was like 28 degrees. It was so hot in here. So I have not felt this cold at all. I've not left my apartment, and it's still quite warm in here. The furnace has not been on all day. So I'm really living the dream. It's like paradise in South Keys.
Oh, man. Well.
Very nice.
Enjoy. usually, like, so you join The Drive every Friday, and mostly, or I guess it started to talk college football, kind of weekly roundup in college ball. And of course it's over, although there is some new stuff to hit on this week with the Senior Bowl. In particular, Chase Brown.
Yes. Yes. I'm so excited about the Senior. I love the Senior Bowl. I really think it's the only all-star game you probably need to watch this weekend. Cause it's the only one that really actually truly means something. Not that the Pro Bowl and the NHL all-star game are not a fun time, but this one, the Senior Bowl tomorrow at 2:30, you can watch all of the fun, all of the games. But this one is features the best of the very best of senior talent. So these are guys who have run out of college eligibility. This is their one last shot to show off. You've got some guys who have already kind of made a name for themselves, have already had a chance at the national stage. But there are some guys who haven't, who have played for, you know, for some smaller schools, that haven't had the national exposure. And so they finally get their moment in the spotlight. This is a big weekend, but a big week. It has been a big week for these guys. A lot of not NHL coaching staff. That would be weird. NFL coaching staff will come into this week. They'll come out and watch practice all week. They'll participate in the practice and kind of give these guys the NFL experience. And so, you know, we will see a lot of draft stocks rise this weekend, and others may fall. Some early standouts right now from practice week, tight end Luke Musgrave from Oregon State had a great week. Ty J. Spears from Tulane, running back from Tulane, wide receiver Jaden Reed from Michigan State, big names there. But yes, I mean, we got to talk about the Brown brothers because big fans. So Chase, running back, was named National Team Running Back Practice Player of the Week. So that is voted on by his peers. He's really stood out. And from what I've been hearing and seeing and reading, Sydney Brown, who is, you know, you don't want to, it's hard to compare a running back to a DB, but, and brother to brother, especially identical twin brother to identical twin brother. But Sydney has, you know, for the most part been number two to Chase. But a lot of really, really great things being said about him this week. I heard, that an AFC exec said that no matter where they go, it's going to be a steal. And they will be drafted too low, both of them. And we're going to look back at this draft year, you know, 3 years from now, and realize that they were drafted too low, which is really, really huge to hear about a couple of Canadian kids.
It's funny, you know, 150 years ago when I used to work in football, talk to coaches about the Senior Bowl, and I just knew about it as another game down in the States. And, you know, and I had one coach say to me, he said, you know what, it's the high bowl and the low bowl all in one. And I said, I don't understand what you mean. He said, well, there's some guys in this game are going to move up and they're going to be drafted higher than they thought possible. It's going to be one of the best days of their lives. Some guys are going to drop and they're going to think it's a bad day. And then there's the low of the low. And I said, what's that? He said, for some of the guys on this list, they're all stars today, but they will never play another football game after that bowl is over. Things will happen. They won't get picked. They won't get it. And it'll be their last game. I thought to myself, oh my God, I never really thought about it that way, but I guess it actually is that way.
It's true. It's true. It can be a little depressing to look at it that way. You're not wrong. There's a lot of guys that, you know, like I said, this is the end of their college career. And depending on how this weekend looks and this past week in practice, we may never hear these names again in football. It's kind of sad. We talk all the time about how huge college football is in terms of volume. There are 131 teams competing, all for these guys to only have space on 32 professional teams. I mean, they could also come up here and play on one of our 9 CFL teams, which we like when that happens.
We're joined by Vanessa Sanchez, and I got a cheat sheet here because I heard Michaela Schreider on the morning show earlier this week. But I know coming up on She's Got Game tomorrow at 11, you guys will definitely be talking some WNBA free agency, as it's a silly season in the WNBA with a couple of teams becoming super teams.
Yeah, it's wild. So Michaela and I record She's Got Game on Thursdays. And it's usually it airs tonight in Ottawa. It won't. It'll be on tomorrow morning at 11. And then across the other radio stations, the TSN stations over the weekend. So things always seem to happen like right as we're leaving, right after we record. But by some miracle this week, all of the good, fun stuff happened right before we recorded. The only one thing actually that we missed was Kia Nurse. So Kia Nurse announced right before we started recording last night that she is not going back to the Phoenix Mercury. Of course, Canadian, cousin of Sarah Nurse. She did announce today that she's going to the Seattle Storm, which is Michaela's team. So she's very happy about that one. The other big signings, we had Candace Parker. She's heading to the Las Vegas Aces, who are reigning champs right now. And they have a ridiculous team. It seems almost illegal that they have so many huge players. They've got Chelsea Gray, Kelsey Plum, Sydney Colson, Aja Wilson, Jackie Young, like just such a stacked team and such depth on that team. So they're probably going to run for a back-to-back championship. But then on the other side of the country, you've got the New York Liberty, who Breonna Stewart, who is probably the best player in the game right now. She just went over there to go and play with Sabrina Ionescu and Courtney Vandersloot signed there this week too. So between these two teams, and they meet four times this year. So speaking of All-Star games, these two teams now have six of the top 10 All-Stars from last year's game. And they're now going to play against each other four times this season. So I want the season to start now. We still have to wait, like, I don't know how many months, till May 19th, whenever May 19th is. But
I know you guys are talking about it on the show. What's coming up in women's soccer? There's news aplenty there as well.
There sure is. Yes. We'll talk a little bit about the NWSL expanding. California is getting yet another team. We talk very often about how much that state loves soccer, and it's expanding like crazy there. They're setting viewership records and attendance records in San Diego and in LA. And so now NoCal is getting a team. So San Francisco is getting a team, Utah, and then Boston is getting a team. And I was telling Michaela that I'm a New York Jets fan. And so I am like born and bred to hate everything Boston just from that. But I've always like secretly wanted to be a fan of a Boston team. My dad's also a Habs fan. So like, I can't like the Bruins. So, but I think maybe this is my chance to get in on the Boston fandom and start from the ground level, and I'll be a Boston NWSL fan. That's my plan right now. We'll see.
We'll see how that goes. See if it goes as good as your Jets, eh?
Yeah, yeah.
Vanessa, really appreciate you taking a few minutes to join us. Looking forward to She's Got Game, 11 o'clock on Saturday.
Yes. Thank you, boys, so much. Have a great weekend. Stay warm.
You too. We'll be listening.
There goes Vanessa Sanchez, host of She's Got Game, 11 o'clock tomorrow here on TSN 1200 as we have Capital Hoops Classic tonight. Joining us on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline, Gabriel Pizza, the official pizza of the Ottawa Senators. Coming up, our fifth and final guest of the show on the other side, John Shannon, will join us next. Talk viewership issues in the United States and much more NHL ratings with John Shannon on the other side. 1 hour to go on the drive here on TSN 1200.